Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hello?
I think we lost her. Let me try her back. Good old interwebs there. I think we have her back. Valerie, welcome to the show. I think we have a little internet sluggishness between us.
I think we did.
I saw you. Good morning. I saw you in the queue window, and I was bringing you on. And the next thing I know, everything started scrolling here. So I guess living in the mountains in southwestern Virginia with the internet service, we're lucky to get what we get. And it's usually pretty good, but I guess it was a little wonky this morning. So how are you
doing?
That's
all right. Oh, doing wonderful. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to get you on because I guess we've been in contact on a social media network, and I'm saying, man, this looks interesting, and to do what you do is really phenomenal, and to go 328 plus miles an hour at the Bonneville Salt Flat, that must be one hell of a rush.
It sure is, especially when everything goes correct and perfect, and there's no room for errors. So when you hit those types of speed, there's no room.
I know. I mean, I saw one where I guess you were testing or something, and you kind of rolled it, and I was surprised it held up. I mean, you were going pretty fast at the time. I think you're again well over 300 miles an hour. I mean, usually when
that was a big crash. That was actually after we went 328 miles per hour in Australia at their dry lakes bed. It was the last day of the meet, and we were attempting to break the world record, which is 376 miles per hour on a motorcycle. We ended up crashing at 363 miles per hour, and that just kind of ended the day, the night, the event on a crashed note.
Well, the good news is you're okay and ready to get back at it again.
Absolutely. We're actually rebuilding the Streamliner motorcycle as we speak. Unfortunately, we've had a few delays, so we're not going to get back out there and race it this year, but we will next year. And with that being said, so I have a great privilege to start racing a car, and it's just not your ordinary car. It's a it's an amazing vehicle, I'll say.
I'll see. I saw the picture of it. How many was it? Three or four V8 engines in it. It's not like a jet-powered car. It's actually regular engines, but a few of them.
Right, right. We have two Dodge Hemi engines, and which produces 2,500 horsepower from each engine at 7,200 RPMs. So together, I have 5,000 horsepower, and the car weighs 8,740 pounds. The length is 43 feet long. There's about a 3-degree turn in radius. And we have Goodyear tires, special rated 600 mile per hour wheels, brakes, not brakes, but tires, sorry.
Rated 600 mile an hour tires. I'm trying to fathom that. I know on your regular street car you get Z rated, which is up to about 150.
Well, we're a little different. Mm-hmm. When you're going after a world record of 417 miles per hour, you're going to need some really efficient tires, speed brakes, parachutes, you know, you name it, you're going to need it.
I would say so. Usually when people think of 300 mile an hour, they think of nitro funny cars or top fuel dragsters. But some of the things that they run on Bonneville go like really fast, like the jet-powered cars that do 600 mile an hour.
Right.
Is this a certain class that you'll be running this particular vehicle in?
Yes, I'll be running in the Blown Fuel Streamliner class, and we're going to be running this coming up month in August 10th through the 16th at the Speed Week event, Southern California Timing Association. They have every year, and it's always at the same time. I mean, they've been doing it for 60-plus years, so we have a very wide-open racetrack, providing we have good weather, and we're going to go out there, and I'm going to get licensed up, and when I'm ready, when they feel I'm ready, then we're going to go for some big numbers, and we'll see what we can come up with. Maybe I'll spare some, I'll get some change out of that mile per hour.
Looks like the big number is, what, 417?
It is. That is the record that we're gearing up to beat. I'm not saying we're going to do it at this event, but anything is possible. And it just really plays a big part on my performance, you know, with me being in the seat for the first time. You know, it's going to be different, but I'll know I'll adjust quite well. I'm no stranger to the Salt Flats. I've been going to the Salt Flats and racing on sit-on bikes since 2005. So I've got some seat time under my belt. Unfortunately, I just don't have any seat time with a car that is 43 feet long.
Well, how long is your Streamliner motorcycle? It doesn't look that short to me.
It's not. That's 25 feet long.
Right.
That's 25 feet long with about 500 horsepower and on two wheels. And it's an amazing motorcycle. It's one of the funnest bikes I've ever have raced, and besides my BMW S1000RR.
Now, what's the distance you have to go to achieve some of these? I know Bonneville is pretty long, but going like to Australia
right.
or California, what's the length of the track there?
Well, I'll use Australia for a reference because they do have an incredible salt flats there. Our salt flats is located in the Bonneville Salt Flats, Utah, and their salt flats is in a town called Lake Gardner. And we were given about 11 to 12 miles worth of racetrack. And with that being said, I get up to speed as fast as I can. They time you in a one measured mile, and that's usually at the mile 6 to mile 7, which is my exit speed. And then I get, you know, many miles to slow down. And trust me, when you're going that fast, you're going to need it. I've got a couple of parachutes and a little bit of brake at the end just to do a little tap, tap, touch. But it's an amazing course when you get really nice air, really nice, no wind, because the bike, when we race, we can't race it with more than 3 miles per hour of wind in any direction.
Even a tailwind?
Well, tailwind I'll take, but, you know, tailwinds do change into other winds. It could be on the side. It could be on front. You never know. You don't
that's
know
true.
When you race at Bonneville, and that's, you know, one of our biggest challenge is the wind and is the traction. And the team, John Jans, Dennis Manning, Joe Harrelson, they've built such an incredible motorcycle. I mean, they've been in the winner's circle many times. They've owned the land speed record 3-4 times with their previous rider, Chris Carr. And so they're no stranger to what it feels like to break a record. The record was broken by Rocky Robinson and Dennis Manning and the team. We want it back. And if we have to go to Australia, we will go to Australia just to break the record.
Wow. It doesn't matter, I guess, where it's set, as long as it's set and you guys have it.
Right. Well, we have a an association that comes out, and they, you know, look at everything. We have to go through a strict inspection. They inspect the racetrack. They have it all mapped out. And, you know, it's the American Motorcycle Association and the FIM, and they come out, and there has to be witnesses from their organization. So they're a great organization to race for, and I just can't wait to see what we can do next year in the motorcycle.
Wow. Now, another thing I'd like to talk about, you were inducted in the Sturgis Motorcycle Museum and Hall of Fame last year. So I guess that's a big thing when the rally comes around and they have the big ceremony. How did that feel being inducted into that?
Boy, it was such an amazing, experience. Even though I don't like talking in front of 1,000 people, about 1,000, I think there was 900-ish, but you know, that was the worst fear right there. But all my hard work really has paid off. And it was a previous sponsor of mine, Jesse Jurens from Legend Suspension, that put my name in the hat, that has watched my career blossom. And it's nice to be recognized. You know, you work so hard. And to get inducted into the Sturgis Hall of Fame is just a terrific feeling.
Now, do you go to the rally every year?
Yes. We have been going to the rally for the past 3 years, consistent. We were actually headed to the rally this year. We were going to leave around July 30th. But Bonneville Speed Week and Sturgis is so close together, and we would only have 4 days, and then we'd have to drive right into the Salt Flats. And we figured that let's just lessen the load and let's just be a little bit less stress and go right into the Salt Flats with not worrying about how to get there, how fast to get there. It is a hike for us to get there in the first place.
Well, yeah, unless you're flying, so...
Well, if you're flying, it's different, but we have to travel with 75 feet of equipment. We have a motorhome that's 45 feet. We have a trailer that's 24 feet. So, and you have 3 dogs. So we have to take them on the road with us. So it's a long haul. It's a 2-day hike. We don't go as fast when we're in the coach and trailer.
Nah, that's where you want to sit back and relax. And, unless you share the driving duties, then it's a little different.
We do share driving duties.
And the three dogs, you got to stop every so often, let them out and do their business. And other than that,
absolutely.
Do they sleep most of the way?
Oh, yeah, they sleep on our lap. They usually sleep on my lap when I'm driving. They're mommy's dogs,
okay.
They're little dogs. They're Maltese. They're just little dogs, so they're little Maltese puppies.
Now, at least they wouldn't make your legs numb if they're riding with you while you're driving. I don't know. I guess
absolutely not. No. They're like 5 pounds, so nope. I can have all three of them there, but I tend not to lately. I just want to concentrate on the driving skill.
That's pretty good. Now, were you always mainly motorcycles, or did you like to race whatever goes fast?
I've always been a motorcycle, into motorcycles and racing motorcycles. I've always said four wheels will slow me down, and now I'm going to have to eat my words, but that's okay. It's a new adventure, and why not make history? And that's what we're doing. I want to be a part of the history book, and I want to be in there for a long time. And to do it on four wheels and make history on two wheels, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make some history. And, to be the first person to go 400 is really an accomplishment, for a female. We don't have male or female records, but, it is nice to be acknowledged that that is the world's fastest female, or vice versa.
That's true. I mean, I guess those four wheels wouldn't slow you down going 400 plus miles an hour.
No, they better not.
You might get hooked on four wheels after that and want to go 500 mile an hour.
Well, the funny thing with that is I told my husband I would retire at 200. Well, once I did that, it changed. I went to 300. Well, I went 304 in the Dennis Manning Streamliner. Okay, well, now I want to go 400. Okay, that's the goal. But first and foremost, as long as we break the record, that's what we care about. The 400 miles per hour just might come with the job. It might come with the territory, but, it is who is going to be the first one to go 400, and somebody will do it, and hopefully that is us.
Well, I hope so, too, because you came on my show, so I always root for my guests.
Absolutely. See, there you go.
So, also, you're featured in a new documentary called, where's it at? You showed a little trailer of it.
Yep.
The Why
Rockets
We Ride.
And Titans.
Rockets and Titans.
Yes. Yes, that is the newest one that we're up to, and we just released the movie teaser. So it is on my Facebook fan page. It's Valerie Racing. And you can go to my Facebook page and hit like and watch the movie trailer. It's 59 seconds. And it's going to be a wonderful story. And I can't wait for it to pop into the theaters and, have parties at the theater, right? We're going to have a speed racing record party at the theater.
Well, there you go. Now, I guess at least the trailer, I did see it. You did send it to me. And I did go to your Facebook page and hit a like on that, too, as well. So,
thank you. Good support for us racers.
Well, that's what we do here at Garage Talk Live, is we support our guests. Most of them, it's basically a motorsports talk show, and I have different guests from all types of motorsports, whether it's NHRA or IHRA, NASCAR, IndyCar. Now you're a first for me. I've never had a missile driver.
Speed racer.
Basically, what you drive is a missile on two wheels and now going to four. I mean,
I was a former a drag racer, so I still fit right in. You can't take my drag racing out of this pumpkin, because drag racing was where I started. First, I started racing down Scottsdale Road in my hometown of Arizona, and then I was told to take it to the racetrack, and I did. And then I actually fell in love with the racetrack, and I never left. And now I started drag racing on a circuit, and then I actually had a little time in the NHRA world, and I thought I was going to get back into it, so we bought another pro stock motorcycle. And I found out that later in my life, things change, and it just wasn't meant to be. So now I sit here and look at a motorcycle that looks really pretty. It's got a lot of horsepower. So if anybody wants it, let me know. but, you know, it's quite different being back in the racetrack on the quarter mile path. And I do like it on the salt flats. It's a night and day difference of how I feel in the bike.
Well, I guess once you go 11 miles at 326 miles an hour, a quarter mile, you sneeze and it's over.
Well, you do. I mean, heck, we got like miles of enjoying the scenery, even though everything slows down in your brain and your mind. It's like everything is like, oh, gosh, can we just get to the finish line? Can I just stop safe? I have said that to myself before. I say, are we there yet? So it's quite different. You know, I have literally, I'm 4 miles worth of 300 miles per hour, just holding it and just waiting for it to stop safe. So thank God I have great parachutes, right?
I think that's the biggest thing, the parachute, because the brakes that they, I'm sure you have are
yeah,
okay.
They're just
but...
for like under 40 miles per hour, just a little tap, tap, and just to kind of, once you kind of come to that, you know, where you're going to rest your bones at, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I want to get out of here now. So I use a brake.
I'm just trying to imagine the elapsed time doing 4 miles at over 300 miles an hour. And what's it, maybe a minute or two, or not even that long?
328 miles per hour is about 10 seconds in the one measured mile.
Oh, in the one
when
measured
I'm in first gear, yes. When I'm in first gear, I'm at 195 miles per hour, approximately. Second gear, around 285. Third gear, 325. Fourth gear, I should be 385-ish. I haven't reached that part yet, but I'm working on it. And when I did 328, yeah, you know, when I went 328 miles per hour, I was only in third gear and only running on three cylinders. So, and I had a lot of complications in my cockpit. You know, my helmet was vibrating on with my eyes, and I was just trying to keep focus 100%. And there was just other little bits and pieces that kind of happened that normally never happen. And, so it was an interesting challenge of that 328 miles per hour. I fought for that bike to stay right up, and I fought for that every mile per hour. So just proud of the team that we did pull it off, and unfortunately we came home with a broken heart with, you know, a crashed up motorcycle, but that's fixable, and I'm, you know, alive and doing well. So that's number one.
Well, that's the main thing, the fact that you're alive and doing well. And so the equipment can be either repaired or replaced, but losing your life, I guess that's the thing you don't want to do, but there's always that rush to try to do what you can do and come home safe, because, face it, not many people go 200 miles an hour, let alone 300 miles an hour. So you're in a class all by yourself there. Well, maybe a few people.
Right. I do have a few others that I compete against. So.
Now, how does that work? You each take a pass, and it's not like you line up side by side and go down the track like you would at a drag strip, is it?
Right. No, we're all at the Salt Flats, you race. You're only racing up against your time clock. It's really the mile per hour. That's what you're racing up against. It's along with the land speed record. You're not racing your buddy or, you know, your competitor at the same time. It's just one at a time. It's way too dangerous out there to do that. And, you know, there's no barrier like in a drag race form to protect each driver. So to protect each driver, you go alone. And everybody gets their turn. We'll sit in line. We'll wait our turn. And when they say we're ready, we'll get ready.
Now, what's the power plant in your motorcycle?
In my motorcycle? Well, that's a, see, it weighs about 1,600 pounds. We run on Goodyear tires. The fuel is methanol. It's about 500 horsepower, and the engine is a Motec system for the train management engine power. And coefficient to drag is 0.08 approximately. And our brakes, the ones that I do the little tap-tap on, we have water-cooled six-piston PM brakes. The engine, which was designed for the bike, and there was only two of them in the world, and it was hand-built by the team, and Joe Harrelson is our engine guy, and he built that machine from scratch, and they make all the parts. So it's not a BMW per se, it's not a Honda, not a Harley, it is just straight up horsepower built by the team, the Streamliner team.
Wow, that's pretty neat. And they only have a couple of, two of them in the world that must be pretty costly to repair.
Well, you know, we service it every time we take it down down the racetrack when it gets back to the pits. And when it gets home, that bike is now a part. They go through every crack and cranny. You know, the salt does a lot of damage to the bike, the engine. You know, salt corrodes everything, even in your vehicles. Every time we go to the salt flats in our truck, we come home and it's like always something happens to the truck. Electricals, you name it. I think the salt flats has an electrical monkey out there or something.
Yeah, you would. That's I was surprised it works that fast on it. You would think you'd be able to get home and maybe wash
well,
it
all
when you leave.
No, we pressure wash it before we leave. That's how corroded it can get, especially, you know, driving to the salt flats is hot. You know, it's warm. It's probably in the 90s right now. You know, here in Arizona, it's 114 degrees. Today will be a hot one. So
yeah, well,
that's where I live. But when it sits there, you know, and it's, you know, and then, yeah, that's dry heat, but when that salt sits on there, it gets corroded. Then that you mix it with a little water. Oh boy, you're having a field day with that one.
Wow. Now I was only kidding because everybody talks about the heat on the East Coast with the humidity, and they said, "Well, it's 110, but it's dry heat." And I remember
dry
a comedian
heat,
saying, "You want dry heat? Stick your head in an oven. That's dry heat."
I'm gonna remember that one. When it's cold, I say it's a dry cold.
Yeah, a lot of people with breathing issues do go down to Arizona because of it. It's dry down there. So,
yeah.
Now, how far is Scottsdale from Tucson? I have family to live down that way, so.
We're a couple of hours away. A good
couple
hours.
That's not too bad.
Nope.
So you like Arizona? You was born and raised there, and were you a California train?
No, I was born and raised in Washington State, and the reason why I came out to Arizona is because I was riding my motorcycle and going to all the bike rallies. I went to Sturgis, went to Laughlin River Run, Daytona Beach motorcycle rally. Arizona Bike Week, and when I came down to Arizona, I just fell in love with it. It was so nice, so beautiful. Everybody was so friendly, and it's just a great time. The shopping was wonderful. And I said, if any one place I'll ever live, it will be here in Scottsdale. Well, come find out. 3-4 years later, I ended up moving here full time. I sold my home in Tacoma, Washington, and I moved. I bought a condo, and now I got married. First, I started my race career, then I got married, and now we have 3 dogs, and we live in a house.
There you go. That is good, because
yeah.
You need all the room. You need the room for all that equipment.
Well, that's the biggest reason why we did. We kept getting in trouble by the HOA Association for bringing the big 45-foot coach inside. And, you know, we're trying to unload as quick as we can. And, you know, so my husband will drive and I'll be in the back packing everything and putting it in all the containers. And that way, and I push it all the way up to the front of the coach. And when we pull up to the driveway, in front of our driveway, that we just unload it really quick, and then he goes off and I start unpacking and start doing laundry, and I can literally be unpacked within an hour, and the first batch of clothes in the washer.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, I'm not a big fan,
it's like
of HOA.
You're on a mission. Yeah, me neither. Nope. So we have our trailer, our coach, we're getting the truck back over here, and our 2 cars, and so we've got all the race bikes.
How many race bikes do you have?
I still have the BMW S1000RR, which that was a top speed of 217 miles per hour in a 1 mile stop standing. I've got the Pro Stop motorcycle, and I've got my original Fat Boy that I bought in 1999. It's a 2000 Fat Boy, and I still have it. And that's where I learned how to be drag racing down Scottsdale Road on. And I took that bike to the racetrack and did hot laps. It was a hot lap after a hot lap. It was like no burnouts, because I wanted to save my clutch and my tires, and I wanted to get it home. And at the time, I couldn't afford tires, and I couldn't afford taking my bike in all the time and burning up my tires. So, and plus it wasn't really the bike to do, burnouts on. When I got approached by the local dealership here, Hacienda Harley Davidson, they said, hey, I got this drag bike. It's called the V-Rod Destroyer. If I buy this at the Harley Davidson event, would you race it for us? And at the time, that was the it bike. Everybody and the mother wanted to race the Harley-Davidson V-Rod Destroyer. It's Harley-Davidson's first drag bike that they built, 9-second bike right out of the box. And so I raced that bike for 2 years in the All Harley Drag Race Association, and we traveled through 14 states, going from race to race.
Wow. I was going to say, with all the you're talking about the BMW and all that stuff, man, I wonder if you ever had a Harley, and sure enough, you did.
Yeah. And then after the drag racing days, and I got into the NHRA days, and then I slowly was losing my sponsors, because back in the economy days that, my sponsorship funds got disconnected, and I no longer returned back to the track. And so I had to reinvent myself several times, by the way, in my land speed racing and in drag racing. So I said, well, what if I get a bike, get a BMW, or, I had an opportunity to race a BMW from when back in 2011 by Kerry Alter. And so that was a great little introduction. He called me out of the blue and said, would you like to race my BMW? And at the time, I was a Harley girl. I knew nothing about sport bikes, and now I do. And he got me hooked. I got a BMW. I got a sponsor, Martech Service Company, and they believed in me. And I've set 2-5 records in that on that bike.
Wow.
Now I don't want a lot of records. I want just good, hard, sturdy, fast records now. I could go out there and break records, and with, this bike, that bike, this bike, I don't want 30 land speed records. I want 10, and that's what I want, and that's been my goal. So I want a land speed record in the car, and I want one last land speed record in the bike, and then I'm going to retire. Did I just say that?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Don't mark my words, but I want 10. I'm on 8 right now. I just got 2 more to go.
Oh, you'll get them. I have confidence now.
Just takes a little time, but that's okay. I got time.
Oh, and you've also been a vehicle presenter for Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest auto auction.
Oh, yes. That was a great time. Barrett Jackson hired me to represent their Barrett Jackson Insurance, and that was a fun time. I got to ride just about all the motorcycles through the auto block. And some other people started taking notice and said, hey, you want to ride my car up? I'm like, okay. So I started riding the cars up and kind of did a little side job of that. And then that was great. It was fun. It was a great experience. I even took the V-Rod Destroyer and I wore my leathers. And yes, they did still fit from my drag racing days. And went up on the auto block and sold the V-Rod Destroyer for Hacienda Harley, because they are the owners of the bike, not me. And we took it across the Barrett Jackson auto block and we sold it. So since then,
wow.
I think it's in Canada now. I don't recall, but I think it's Canada. Somewhere
far
away.
Hopefully he got a good amount for it.
Yes, they did. I was hoping I would get some of that. I forgot to ask.
You should have.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you did drive for them, so
they were one of the biggest helps of my career, and you know, not to mention Charlie Mitchell and Nick Trask here locally in Arizona. They really gave me my first V-Rod. They turboed it, and I was just making some hot passes in it, on it, and it was a great bike, and I had a good time. And Charlie Mitchell and I, we would go down the racetrack. We took drag racing school together and just kind of had a hoot. And next thing you know it, I get a call from Hacienda, and that's all she wrote. At the time, I had a BMW convertible car, and I asked him if I could use his truck and his trailer for it, and he said no. So I asked my friends, can I use your truck? They said nope. And then I talked to a friend of mine, a local drag racer as well, and he's like, Valerie, sell your BMW, get a truck. I did exactly that. I sold my car, I bought a truck, and then I was like, okay, now I need a trailer. So the Hacienda Harley let me use their 14-foot trailer, and I'd say probably 8 months later, I ended up getting my own trailer. Which I still have to this day, and everybody loves my trailer. It's only been wrapped 3 or 4 or 5, 6 times. It's still in great shape, though.
You'll have to email me a picture of it or post it up on your Facebook page or both. I'll see it somewhere.
Yes.
So you sold your BMW convertible and bought a truck. What kind of truck did you wind up getting?
Oh, my gosh, it's my favorite truck in the whole wide world. It's a Dodge Dually, and it fit everything. I stuffed that thing so tight and so full in the back, anywhere from generator when I had the 14-foot trailer. I had to utilize everything. At the time, my sponsor was Monster Energy Drink, so they sent me off to the racetrack with lots of cans of Monster drink.
Oh,
so I really had no choice. I had to figure out what I need to do to get these drinks back and forth to the racetrack. So I did exactly that. And it was a great experience, because not only did I get to experience that, I got to be an experienced driver. You know, I learned how to drive my own wheels. I could get to the racetrack. The crew flew in and I showed up in truck and trailer. At the time I had one dog, and he sat on my lap the whole time or behind my neck by the seat. And that's how we rolled down the highway.
That's pretty neat. Well, I guess I better let you go. You've been with me for 40 minutes. So I hope you had a fun time being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And
make sure
you
all follow me on. I will come back after I'm faster. That's only a promise.
Okay.
I'm going to stick to that one. All right. Thank you much.
Thank you. And go ahead, follow you on Facebook. Yeah. What else do you have? Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff? Or are you just a Facebook person?
Yes. Twitter and I love Instagram. That's my favorite. So I'm trying to grow my Instagram followers, and would love to have you over there if you guys just like me over there. And, you know, Twitter, I like Twitter too. I like them all. I love to communicate with my fans and share my experience, share my journey, and, you know, through the ups and downs. So I hope you all enjoy.
All right, so I guess just do you have all
you
the
go
links
to my
for...
main website. Yeah, go to my main website, Valerie Thompson Racing, and you can just click away on the top part of the website, and it'll take you right to all my links. I make everything quite easy. I try to be.
Good, because I'm an older guy, and I use them all.
I don't
but
like
trying to get them all
stuff.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I look for easy too. So.
Yeah, we're working on my website. We're getting it up to date. So, gonna start with a clean piece of paper. That's for sure. And so, what you see right now is on the main page is really my drag racing days. But that's okay. All the content, all the words, and everything is great and updated. But just not a few photos.
Well, that's all in due time.
That's right. There's only one of me.
Well, you do it by yourself, or your husband help?
Well, no, my husband has his hands full. He's a full-time commercial builder, hotel builder, and so he travels from week to week. So he leaves me home with the puppies and the big house. So I'm a housewife, I'm a puppy mom, and I'm a racer. And yes, I do my own PR and to a certain extent, but I have some people that help as well. And but we'll see about the rest of it, right?
That's true. Well, if you ever need me to give a shout out for anything, either email me. I think I gave you my cell number. You could text me as well. You can go that way. It's probably quicker and easier. But sometimes you wait for emails. And by the time you go through, especially, you probably get a long list of them. By the time you go through them, it's like, oh, you know?
Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you so much again. And you guys have a great day.
You too. And glad having you on, and happy that you'll be coming back, and let's go get those two records, and this way you can enjoy life and have babies or whatever.
No babies. We can have fur babies.
No babies. Fur babies, yeah.
All right. Fur babies.
My wife
and
I are
Thank
fur babies
so
only too. So. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
There you have it. Valerie Thompson, world's fastest woman motorcycle racer. Going for the big guns now. She's going to go with a car and trying to beat 400 plus miles an hour. Let's hope she does it. Great having her on. Well, in the meantime, I hope you all enjoyed listening to her, and happy to have her join me. First time guest, and obviously the time went well. And NASCAR in action. I didn't have a show last week because I had some technical difficulties down here. And give a shout out to Justin Haley for winning the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona. Daytona always hard to pick. because sometimes you do get first timers. So when with Daytona being done, everything was out in Kentucky. ARCA was out there. Actually, ARCA wasn't out there. They were at Elko Speedway. They were in action this week. IndyCar was in action this week. And, of course, all three NASCAR Touring Series were out. We had Chandler Smith take the checkered flag, Ty Gibbs in second, Sam Meyer in third, Michael Self in fourth, Corey Haim in fifth, Carson Hocevar in sixth, Joe Graff Jr. in seventh, in eighth, making one of her limited starts, Haley Deegan, ninth, Brett Holmes, and 10th was Howie DeSavino. In the standings, Michael Self leads the points. Brett Holmes is second. Travis Brayden is third. Christian X is fourth. Joe Graff Jr. is fifth. Tommy Vi Jr. is sixth. Brad Smith, seventh. Dick Doheny, eighth. Ninth, Tim Richmond, and Chandler Smith rounds out the top 10. Everybody else is in a fight. So, Haley Deegan's only, that was only her fourth event, and she's 23 in points, but she's not there full time yet. She's only there for six or eight or nine races. I think it was originally six, and I think they might have upped it to nine. Driving with Venturini Motorsports. So, NHRA, not in action last week. We'll be back this week, but 4th of July weekend, they were there, so they only ran Top Fuel and Funny Car, no Pro Stock, no Pro Stock bike, no Pro Mod. It's like Erica Enders had the week off. I don't think she's happy. She don't like sitting around. Steve Torrance did take the win. Matt Hagen took the win in Funny Car. Now let's get on to the Truck Series. Let's do IndyCar. Get that out of the way. Simone Pagino took the win at the Honda Indy Toronto on the streets of Toronto. One of the actual street courses where, like, Formula One and all got its start. It wasn't tracks before. They used to run on the road. That's why they called it road racing. Simone Pagino with the win. Scotty Dixon, second. Alexander Rossi, third. Joseph Newgarden, fourth. Felix Rosenquist, fifth. James Hinchcliffe, seventh. Sixth. Colton Herta, eighth. Sebastian Bourdais, ninth. Eighth. Colton Herta, seventh. What am I doing? Sebastian Bourdais, eighth, and ninth, Graham Rahal, and rounding out the top 10 was Marco Andretti. Three lead changes amongst three drivers. Two cautions for three laps. No margin of victory because one of those cautions was at the end of the race, and the race ended under caution. Average speed, 100.9 miles an hour. Hour and 31 minutes and 16 seconds, so we'll call it an hour and a half race long. Clear lap leaders were Pagino, Takuma Sato, and Zach Veach. And your point standings. Joseph Newgarden leads the points. Alexander Rossi in second. Simone Pagino third. Scotty Dixon fourth. Will Power fifth. Takuma Sato sixth. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 7th, Graham Rahal, 8th, James Hinchcliffe, 9th, and Felix Rosenquist is 10th. Now for the truck race. Tyler Ankrum takes the checkered flag. In the Toyota, he led three times 40 laps. Stuart Friesen was second. Harrison Burton, third, Ross Chastain, fourth, Dylan Lupton, fifth, Austin Wayne Self, sixth, Brett Moffitt, seventh, Spencer Davis, eighth, ninth, Jeb Burton, Johnny Sauter, tenth. There were 10 lead changes amongst 7 drivers, 5 cautions for 33 laps. That includes 2 stage enders. Tyler Ankrum's first victory in 12 Truck Series races, his first victory in 4th top 10 in this year, and his first win at Kentucky Speedway. Let's hear from our winner. Let's see what he had to say.
Owner David Gilliland, and congratulations, guys, on the win tonight. We will go ahead and take questions for Tyler, David, or Bono. If you have one, please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation, and we'll get you a microphone. Who would like to kick us off? Come on, somebody wants to ask a question. All right, Jerry, thank you.
Jerry Jordan, talk about the win. You know, obviously, maybe only driver south from that era. So,
no. Oh, yeah. There you go. It's pretty awesome. My vocabulary isn't on right now. I don't know what's on. But I just don't know. I'm just so thankful for the ride I'm in. DJR Crosley, Toyota, Railblaze Academy. You know, we've been working so hard lately. Once the guys have been working hard so lately, and you know, week in, week out, they, you know, just keep on giving me, you know, getting better cars. But we've together been getting better. And you know, at the beginning of the year, I honestly didn't think it was going to be possible. I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think we could do it. But with the support I've had and kind of the pressure too. Man, I had the pressure to get a sponsor, but I'm just so thankful for everyone around me.
There you have your winner. You can tell he's not used to speaking in front of the press. That's what happens. The guys come through the ranks and then you finish in the bottom, below the top 3, you don't have to worry about too much. But when you win, then you're put in the spotlight, and that's how it goes. So I know I've been in that crowd firing those questions off to these guys. So they've changed their format. It used to be the introducer who's with NASCAR PR. They ask the guy to talk about their race. And then they open it up for questions. This year they just throw it out to the media, and there's been instances where the media actually doesn't ask any questions. So if a guy didn't get asked about his race from the NASCAR person, then it'd be, all right, on to the next guy. But anyway, at least he was in there and has his first taste of a winner's press conference. All right, Xfinity on Friday night. Cole Custer takes the checkered flag over Christopher Bell. They had Stuart Haas Ford over a Gibbs Toyota. Tyler Reddick was third. Michael Annette in a Junior Motorsports Chevy was fourth. Chase Briscoe, fifth. Noah Gragson was sixth. Justin Allgaier, seventh. Ryan Truex, eighth. Ryan Sieg, ninth. And Justin Haley won at Daytona. He's not even running. He wasn't even running for points. He happened to be in the right place at the right time. They made the right call when they red flagged it for rain. He stayed out. And guess what? He gets the trophy. So, but he's a rookie in Xfinity, and he's running for points there. So he did finish in the top 10. Race took 2 hours, 9 minutes. Average speed, 139.44 mile an hour. Margin of victory, 1.65 seconds. Five cautions for 24 laps. 14 lead changes amongst eight drivers. It was Cole Custer's fifth victory and 11th top 10 this year. Now, that's what we didn't do to Truck Series standings. Well, we're just about out of time, so. And let's hear what Cole had to say on his win.
We've now been joined by our race 2018 for tonight's Outsole 300 here at Speedway. We're joined by Cole Custer, driver of the number 00 Haas Automation Sport, and his racing Mike Giblet. And Cole and Mike, we meet again here in the media center after race. It's always a good place to start. So we will take questions for Mike or Cole. If you have one, raise your hand. Your name is Dave. Started. Okay. Microphone in the back, please.
Here's Trotted, GSJ Sports. Question for both of you. The ultimate goal is to run a performance like United Homestead. Anything that's great, transition, and Miami.
I mean, yes, mile and a half, and an arrow comes into play, and, you know, stuff like that. But it's obviously a lot different because it's a paved, pre-paved racetrack, and that's a really four-out racetrack. So, hear me fight different things, but there are things that we can take to
same thing.
Well, that was kind of lame. Usually they ask you, well, what did you find was the toughest spot? Anyways, on to the Cup Series. It came down to a battle of the Busch brothers. Now, there's actually a real good finish, too, because Kurt and Kyle racing each other for I don't know how many years. Kyle getting a lot of wins. Kurt getting some wins for a bunch of different teams. So, new team this year, Chip Ganassi taking over the one from Jamie McMurray. Gets the first win, locks himself into the playoffs. He led four times for 41 laps. And Kyle was second. Eric Jones was third. Kyle Larson was fourth. Denny Hamlin was fifth. Clint Bowyer was sixth. Joey Logano was seventh. Eighth, Daniel Suarez. Ninth, Ryan Newman. And tenth, Chris Buescher. Average speed, 141. Margin of victory. Now, when I say close, this is close. 0.076. 0.0071. They were trading paint all the way down toward the end there. Seven cautions for 35 laps, 10 lead changes amongst 10 drivers. It was Kurt's 31st victory in the Cup Series. And his first this year. So he's now in the playoffs. You win, you're in. Let's take a look at hear what Kurt had to say after the race.
We're now joined by a race winner, Kurt Busch, on Fred Chevrolet, with 6 pounds of race for his first win. Over to Sam, for his first overall. I'll start with Mark, go in the back.
Mark Darrow of PRN. Kurt, your thoughts on the last lap, battling your brother, and how such a win that race?
What a great finish. Habit, go our favorite here. There's something about our team meeting today, our need statistics. Hopefully, there's never been a green white check. In my mind, that's the one with the meeting. But you know what? It could be one day. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it. Amazing what happened for us to have that start. I have Kyle Barton. Behind me, six. Potter said teammate's going to go with you. Is he really? He did. He did a phenomenal job. I didn't have to look in the mirror. All what I had to do was play offense out in front of me. And what a battle. What a battle with my little brother. Raced him side by side to try to play the chess game at 180 miles an hour on side draft. And we're wide open through turns one and two. And we were trying to go wide open through three and four. And it was a matter of me just staying as close as I could to his right rear quarter panel because he was on my left rear down the straightaway. I had to be on his right rear through the corner. And as we drove down into turn three on the last lap, I stared straight at his door. I could see the number 18 to my left, and I never lifted until I heard him lift. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I got to still miss the wall. And he gave me just enough room. As a true racer would, or as my little brother would. But I'm really proud of the way that we finished this race. 1-2, put on one hell of a show. One of those old school type races where two guys duking it out. This will happen to be brothers, different manufacturers. But this one I can't wait to go watch the video of and tell people about it and show that the sport of NASCAR and the production and the pride that everybody has to try to get to victory lane was shown in those last few laps.
Here's Scott at TSA Sports. Kurt.
There you have Kurt Busch talking about it and getting his first win against his brother and some strategy. And a little dead air there, but anyway, let's look on to Loudon. Who do I like for Loudon? Haven't made a pick in a while. Ooh, Kurt Busch started from the pole there, led 94 laps back when he was driving a Ford. So Kevin Harvick did win the race, and Kyle Busch was second. Amarola and Truex, a lot of Fords up top, then a Toyota and a couple of Chevys. Who do I like? I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. He's got something to prove. He came up a little short against his brother. I think Kyle's going to get her. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm your host, Vinny Bonfigli. We'll see you all next week. Hope you enjoyed my interview with our special guest. Special thanks to her, Valerie Thompson, the world's fastest female motorcycle racer. Now she's going for the car record. Anyway, talk to you all later. Good day and good racing. Bye now.